Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Lamed Ches, and we are on Lamed Zayin and Mabez in the middle of the Brisa that was quoted in the Machlokas Tanoim relating to Ta'amei Pisuk Ta'amim, which relates to the Machlokas about whether and why one is allowed to accept Schar for Mikra. We had a Machlokas whether that was because of Schar Shimur, whether it was babysitting money, or, and then we got into Schar Shabbos, doing that just on Shabbos. What about Havla'a? Some major Shas topics that we discussed yesterday. And the other day was Schar Pisuk Ta'amim. According to one of the deos, that's only Durabanan. So, and that, or the formulation of the Torah Tamima is just a Hechsher mitzvah and not just the Limud itself. It's a Yediya. So that's why one would be able to accept Schar for just teaching the Trop, as we call it, just the Ta'amim. But according to the second day that we just quoted, no, it's a Daraisa too. According to the Gemara on Lamed Zayin and Mabez. So we said it's based on the pasuk in Nehemiah that we learn out all of these items of the Mesorah from the words of the pasuk, Vayigru b'seiv v'toras elokim, and that is why we ended within that brisa. So we are about five lines up from the bottom. We're talking about Kri and Ksiv. Before we start, Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva in Arachayim Chela Gimel, where he discusses if you have a Kri and Ksiv and it does not say what you are supposed to read, what do you have to look at, l'chatchila? We know one is supposed to look at the ksav of the Torah as one reads the Torah. So if it doesn't say, let's say it says yishkalena, and I'm supposed to read it yishkavena, so does it make a difference whether I look at the word? What if there's dio? What if there's wax, shava, on the word? Does that make a difference? You have to flick it off? Is there any soul problem there? So it has to say what it's supposed to, how we're supposed to have it in the ksav. But is there an ikuv in terms of what I'm supposed to read? So Rav Moshe has noted to say you should. One should be looking at it even though one is not saying what one is looking at. But that is a separate din of Kri and Ksiv, and it goes to the root of where does Kri and Ksiv come from. This Gemara says Kri and Ksiv is part of the Mesorah. So we don't know why. CERN, there is a Radak in one place where he says maybe it's part of the loss of the Mesorah that it was supposed to say something and it didn't say something, but either way it's clear from our Gemara that this is part of the Mesorah and we don't know why. Some of the words are supposed to be written, some of the words are supposed to be said and not written. Okay, let's continue. So we had a couple of extra words yesterday. Not extra, but just the Gemara says that the words are said in order to make the syntax of reading the Torah a little smoother. A couple of achars, an extra kaf. So now we are up to five lines to the bottom. Within the Braisa, within Rabbi Yitzchak's statement. Kri and Veloksivin. What are some examples of Kri, Veloksiv, where words are read and they are not written? Pras de Belechta, which is going to quote various words throughout Tanakh. Ish de Kasha Yishal Ish Bedvar HaElokim, Psukim in Shmuel. Ba'im de Nivnesa, La de Pleita, Es de Hugay to God, Eli de Hagorin, a couple of them in Rus. Seems like there are more psukim, more words that you read in Rus that are not written than any others. There are whole words that we don't find in elsewhere in Tanakh. Whole words that don't appear in the text that you read. Eli de Hasaorim, that's one of them. All of these are Halein, Kriyin, Veloksivin. All of these are words that are written, but they are not written. Viksivin, Velokirian, what about if they are written and not read? What are some of those? No, and this is words that are not there, not just words that you changed, like we mentioned before, from Kisavo, Yishkalena, Yishkavena. Ksivin, Velokirian, no, di Yislach. Moving over, Zos, de Hamitzvah. Yidroch de Hadorech, Chamesh de Paas Negev, Im de Chigoel, Haleng, Sivin Velokrian. All of these throughout Tanakh are examples of words that are read, but they are not read, but they are written in front of us. Again, the fact that we have words that are Ksiv Velokri, even though we don't read it, it's because there is certain symbolic nature to the ksav of the Torah, even if we don't read it. We know, we mentioned many times the Ramban in the Hakdama to his commentary, that Kol HaTorah Kulo spell out Shmos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a Kabbalistic level, that the entire Torah is Shem Hashem. We don't read it that way. But says the Ramban, before the Torah was given, as the Gemara in Psachim says, that one of the seven things that were created before the world was created is the Torah. And the Torah did not say what we have it said. Bereishis Bara Elokim. didn't say that, says the Ramban. Just as an example, the Ramban says, it could have said, Barosh Yisbara Elokim. You just put the break between the words in a different place. So that is why, even if we don't read it in a certain way, the entire Torah spell out the Shem Hashem, and therefore, even if it's not read that way, the importance of having it written that way is crucial. That's why the Ramban writes, in a comment that the Menachas Chinuch picks up on, that if you have a psul in the Torah that does not change the meaning of a word, it could still pass the Torah. Even though it doesn't change the meaning, but still on the level of Kol HaTorah Kula Shmos HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it could change the meaning of the Shemos of Hashem. And that's why it would ruin the kashrus of the Sefer Torah, writes the Ramban. The Menachas Chinuch discusses that idea in the last mitzvah. We'll mention, we'll get back to this a little later as well, in Mitzvah Taryag, in Mitzvah 613, where he discusses the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, where the Gemara says, Anan lo b'ki'inon b'chaseros v'yaseros. We are not experts in certain extra and missing letters. That's the Gemara, and that's why the Kaddish of the Gemara is an Agadata. The Gemara says, trying to figure out what the middle letter of the Torah is. And for some reason, the Gemara assumes that there is an even number. There's an even number of letters, because the Gemara says, it's the middle letter of the Torah. So the Gemara says, is it the last of the first half or the first of the second half? Maybe it's smack in the middle. So the Gemara assumes not, that it's an even number. So the Gemara says, why don't we just go and count? Why don't you go and count? So the Gemara says, no, Rav Yosef says counting's not going to help. Anan lo b'ki'inan b'chaseros v'yaseros. Because there are some extra and missing letters. Based on that Gemara, the Shagas Aryeh says that there is no mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah bizman hazeh that we can fulfill. Because after all, it's not a mitzvah to write a puzzle sefer Torah. And if we don't have every letter, then there's a problem. So the Shagas Aryeh throws up his hands and says, there's no mitzvah. And Chiddush al gabei Chiddush, he makes up his own mitzvah d'rabbanan. He says, but there's a mitzvah d'rabbanan to write a ksiva sefer Torah. Shlo tishtakech Torah's Torah mi Yisrael. He makes up a new mitzvah. So it's a Chiddush al gabei Chiddush. The Minchas Chiddush cannot believe what the Shagas Aryeh says. We don't have any Rishonim that say that there's no mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah bizman hazeh. Of course there's a mitzvah. Why wouldn't there be a mitzvah? The only slight modification that we have in the Rishonim is the Rush. The Rush, the Torah quotes this Rush in Hilchos Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Rush says that Bizman Hazeh, maybe the mitzvah have shifted from scrolls to Svarim. Because we learned from Svarim. So maybe that's what has changed Machlokas. Does it mean that it has changed or has just been added onto? That's the idea of when everyone buys a Sefer. So it could be that there's a Kiyum of Ksiva Sefer Torah according to the Rush. So when one is in the Sfarim store, one could have that kavana. But either way, that's what might have changed. But says the Menachas Chinuch, other than that, no way. What Anan lo b'ki'inan b'chaseros v'yaseros, says the Menachas Chinuch, Svei dinim. There are two types of Anan lo b'ki'inan b'chaseros v'yaseros. Any extra and missing letters, or missing letters, that change the meaning, that for sure we are b'ki'inan. That does not change, and that there's been a Mesora going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the Gemara mean, Anan lo b'ki'inan? That's by letters that don't make a difference in terms of the halacha, like Aaron, spelled with a vav or without a vav, or some other letters. That's all that is meant by the Gemara. And then at the end, he just has a line where he says, and even though, kol HaTorah kula shmos HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's okay. Doesn't really answer the question. He acknowledges that idea that the Ramban quotes, but he does not answer the question. Okay, either way, that's an important discussion relating to the letters of the Torah, extra or missing. Let's continue now, third line. Amar of Acha Bar Ada, b'ma'arava paskin lahadim psuka l'tlasa psukin. The following pasuk in Eretz Yisrael, they used to read as three different psukim. We have it as one big, long pasuk. But the following pasuk, they added three psukim. Shmos Perek Yutes, v'yomar Hashem Moshe, hinei anochi bo'i lecha bav he'anan. And the pasuk, it's dot, dot, dot. And the pasuk continues. We have it as one long pasuk, but we have it as, they had it as three psukim. The Shita Mekubetzes here has one line where he says, well, you know what? Why they had it as three psukim? Because the Gemara says elsewhere, Maseches Megillah, that there were those who had the minhag of finishing the Torah every 3 years, not just every once a year. So this is going according to that. So you have to split certain parts of the Torah into three in order to be able to spread it out over 3 years. B'ma'arava paski mishum dekaru chamisha chumshei Torah l'slas shnin v'tzorach l'katzer l'hem aparshios. It says that she's Mekubetzes. So that is why, because it had to be split, so a couple of psukim, not just a couple of alios. Here, even a pasuk had to be split into three parts. The Meshech Chachma picks up on this minhag as well. The Meshech Chachma notes Tosfos' problem. Tosfos has a problem in Masechet Megillah. What Haftorah are we supposed to read on Simchas Torah? What Haftorah? So we know what we do, but that's not what the Gemara says. Right? We read the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, as if to say that the end of the Torah continues right into Yehoshua. But if you look in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says that we don't read that. Right? We read Sefer Malachim, Shlomo HaMelech. Right? So how could our Tosfos asks, how could our Gemara, how could our Minhag go against, right, Malachim Aleph Perachet, Vayamot Shlomo. So Tosfos wonders, he ponders how our Minhag could be against what it says in Shas. Right, and the Yerushalmi doesn't have any other minhag that we could say, oh, we go like the Yerushalmi. Says the Meshech Chachma. There's one piece in the Meshech Chachma at the end of the Torah, after Zoz HaBracha. It's called Hadron. Two pages. That's all he says. So this is what he discusses there. He says, you know, how is it that our minhag is against the Gemara? So he says it's based on that Gemara. Right here, based on the Gemara, here in a Kiddushin, that the minhag was to read the Torah every 3 years, not just every year. So says this Meshech Chachma, what Haftorah did you read when they finished the Torah, when they finished reading year number one? Not year number three, year number one. What Haftorah did you read at Simchas Torah? Suggest the Meshech Chachma. It was Yantif. It was Simchas Torah. So what's in Yana Diyoma? In Yana Diyoma is reading in Sefer Malachim. When they made a party, when they finished, Simchas Torah is about celebrating our unique connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The 70 Karbanos Parim that were brought all of Sukkot, and today Shmini Atzeres is our unique connection, and that's what it talks about in those Sukkim in Malachim, our unique connection, Shivim Parim Kenegin Mi, quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, Par Yechidi, and the quote, that's what Vayamot Shlomo talks about. It talks about our unique connection, like the Gemara in Brachas, what does it say in Hashem's Tefillin, what does it say in our Tefillin. That's the Haftorah that they used to read when they finished the Torah once every 3 years. But we finish the Torah every year, says the Meshech Chachma. So what's the Inyan HaDiyoma of finishing the Torah? The beginning of Yehoshua. To show that Yeshua was mamshich the derech of Moshe Rabbeinu, l'didon demesaymi atara b'kol shana, karim vahi achrei mosti Moshe, lahoros, sha'atara lo te'inosev alei avishim navi lo yuchal l'shanos. As the Pasuk says, lo yomer seif atara z'vipicha v'ikizi yom avalayla, v'chulu. And that's why there's a different hagim, because it's based on the different realities that we read the Torah. But that's the Shiva Kubasis right here. He says this idea that's quoted by Rav Acha Bar Ada of Ma'arava is going according to that custom. Viter. As we see, these dafim are jam-packed. So much to say. Baruch Hashem, we'll get back to Nidarim on the bottom of the Amud. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Lo he'eshir Moshe ela mipsoltan shaluchos. Moshe did not become rich except from the psoles of the luchos. When it was chiseled out, the raw material of the luchos that was left over, that's where he became rich from. What do you mean he became rich from? The Marsha says, don't think what we were speaking about on the previous daf, that Moshe made some money off of teaching Torah. No. Mahu b'chinam, afata b'chinam. So there was no money made on that. So hadn't Moshe become rich? The assumption is that Moshe was an usher, right? He also, we know, didn't take from the spoils by Mitzrayim, like everybody else was taking. Chacham leiv yikach mitzvos. So he didn't take from all the spoils of Mitzrayim. So where did he become rich from? So the Gemara says, from the psoles of the psoles of the luchos. Shneamar psol lecha, shnei luchos avanim karishonim, psoltan shelecha yehei. The psoles of yours, psol lecha. If you look at the Medrash in Parshas Kisisa, it's a little different, a couple of different opinions. One of them, beautiful opinion, is that where did Moshe get his shine from? Right, at the end of Kisisa, he had a shine, he had to wear a masveh. So where did he get his shine from? So the Gemara, the Medrash has a couple of opinions. Some say, one also says, psolos of the luchos, but another opinion is, mashenishar bekomis. What was left over in the komis, in the quill, when he was writing the luchos, second luchos, right? Well, dish of a komis, that's where he became rich. That's where he got a shine from. What does that mean? So some of the Bali Musar explain, Moshe Rabbeinu was never satisfied with what he had already done. Imagine if you had written the Lukos. You wrote the Lukos Shnios. Finally, you thought it was all over. And no, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gives another chance. Psalacha, we have the second Lukos. He comes down on Yom Kippur. He gives it to Klal Yisrael. Oh, we've made it. We've achieved. No, you know why Moshe shined? Because he was always focused on what was left in the quill. He was always focused on what this still had to be done. What, not what he had accomplished already, but what he didn't accomplish yet. His jobs in the future. Masha Nishar Bakumis. And that's what when Moshe Rabbeinu shined. He never looked at he knew Lo Alecha Amlachalugmar, but he never looked at Velo Ata Ben Charinli, but tell me many. He never stopped focusing on that as well. Period. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, an amazing line on the surface. Lo Nitna Torah Elo La Moshe Ulazaro. The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and his children. That's it. The Torah was going to be given just to his family. Shenemar, ksav lecha, psal lecha, ma psoltan shelcha, just like the psoles is yours, af ksavan shelcha. So to the ksav will be just for you. But what did Moshe do? He didn't want to keep it for himself. Moshe nog batovas ayin v'nitzna li Yisrael. Moshe had a tov ayin, right, this week's parsha. Bilam had an ayin ra, Moshe had a tov ayin, and Avraham. V'alav ha-kasav omer, tov ayin hu yivorach. V'gomer, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu got bracha, because he had a tov ayin. He shared the Torah with Klal Yisrael. What's the havamina? How can you say that? Ask the Marsha, ask the Ben Yoyod, ask all the Mepharshim. What's the havamina to say that the Torah was only supposed to be given to Moshe Rabbeinu? This was the world was supposed to function with the Bnei Yisrael getting the Torah. Yom HaShishi, right? Vav Sivan. So what does that mean? So the Marsha says maybe only the Ksav was supposed to be given to Moshe, right? The Ksav Lecha, right? The Ksav, Moshe was going to teach the Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. But the Torah Sheh B'Ksav, so to speak, and the power of Drasha, say the Achronim, maybe that was going to be given to Moshe Rabbeinu and his family. Wasn't it? But Moshe Rabbeinu shared it. There is an amazing tshuva of the Nitziv. The Nitziv in the Meshav Davar discusses, there was a case of a man who told his son, you're not allowed to publish any of my Chidushei Torah. Not allowed, I'm not interested, right? There's some drachim like this, they're always nervous that what they wrote is not correct, and maybe they're going to think that what they wrote in a couple of years is not good. So he told his son, you're not allowed to publish my Shuvas. Not allowed. Shehesheva halacha lamaisa, the ones that were halacha lamaisa. Mitam shein lispo kol kach ala tshuva, kamo mashakasa b'derech limud oso inya. Because he told his son, you know, the tshuvas that I was asked, you know, I'm not sure if I gave the right answer, I might have been in a hurry. You know, my lovdis, my chidushim on the Gemara, that you could publish. So the son and the father died. And so the son asked the Nitziv, in chelek aleph, simen chav dalet, do I have to listen to my father? His tshuvas are unbelievable. So the Nitziv says 2 points. Number one, I think your father was wrong. You don't tell me that there's more MS in the Chidushim on Shas than there are in Shuvas. Because says the Nitziv, there is special Siyata D'Shemaya given to a Posek. If he's done his homework, not just a flippant Posek who gives answers, but he's done his homework, this special Siyata D'Shemaya, more than what you get in Stam Limud in the Beis Medrash. Unbelievable line, says the Nitziv. V'yadarabba, v'shashim yishim malakal ha-maisa, boyim lo'omiko inyin, yosem imashe bohe inyin b'derech limud. V'gam siyata d'shmaya adif b'shas maisa. I don't know if you ask him if he would say that the Meshav Davar is more MS than the Meromi Sada. I don't know. But that's what he says. V'kfar amru, quotes the Gemara in Ksubis, and elsewhere, that the special siyata d'shmaya, when one writes a tshuvas. And he says, ay, v'had deskimu ha-poskim, that which the poskim say, interesting line, that the psakim of the Rosh on Gemara are more authoritative than his tshuvos, the tshuvos harash. Isn't that against what I'm saying? Right? Ein ze misvara ela mi Gemara mi pi beno Rabbeinu Yehuda zal. That's the misora that is the Rosh's son said. O mistama yada beno de hapsakim ayu mucharim l'tshuvosav v'chazer bo Rabbeinu harash zal. So he knew that the psakim were written after the tshuvos. Okay, but in general, the tshuvos has special status. And then he says, now that we have said that tshuvas have special siyata d'shmaya, now we have the next question. Does a father have power, does anybody have power over his chidushei Torah to prevent them from being published? Right, we know the Gemara says, uvisora so, yega yom of alayla, Torah becomes the lamdin's Torah, based on the pasuk at the beginning of Tehillim. So, does one have the power to sell a son? You know, you're not allowed to publish. Is the Torah his? Says the Nitziv, L'chora hayanira, she'yachala adam lasos ko bahorasav ka adam ha'oseh betuch shalo. It's his. So l'chora, you would say that a person is not allowed to, right? V'kiva the nitin lo b'matana nach lokel, what we read recently, matana nach liel, v'chulu. That's what he says. But then says the Nitziv, achar ha'ian ein okein. But after you analyze it, it's not true. The Torah is only a person's in that he could choose who he gives it to. But to not to give it to anybody, if Hashem gives me some chiddush in Torah, I'm going to hold it back for myself. It doesn't quote it. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says in Sefer Chassidim that when somebody is taught, if a Talmid Chacham has Torah and he willingly withholds Torah that he could share with somebody, it's like a Navi, Shekovish Nebuaso. It's like a Navi who has prophecy. You have to share it, if that's the point. So says the Nitziv, Ain a nikre sholo el litzim lamisha yirtza al bikomakom ain bekochu v'rashuso la abedo sam lagamre shari mitzvahu lil modal lamen acherim v'lo lekav sham laatzmo. And therefore, you do not have to listen to your father. In this case, says the Nitziv, you're allowed to publish them. You have to choose. You can choose who you're going to give it to. That's the Nitziv. If you look in the Chashuke Chemed here, if Zilberstein has another tshuva similar, he says a father told a son, "You're not allowed to tell so and so my tshuvas, my chidushim, because even though he's a big maggid shir, he never quotes me by name. He always says my stuff as if it's his own." So he, the lomate here, was told his son, "Don't give so and so the Torah." So this so-and-so, after the father died, goes through his own routine and says, well, I have to listen to him. So he goes through the Nitziv, and he said, well, the Nitziv says only you're not allowed to hold it for yourself. Here your father was mitzavet just to give it to other people, but not to give it to this Magid Shir. So then he asked his son, though, but what if you're not going to give it to anybody besides this Magid Shir? This Magid Shir is very popular, even though he doesn't quote B'Shem Amro. So he said, Mistam, your father would rather have Sifsosav, Dovavos Bekever, even if it's not his own Svatayim. He still gets Schar and Shamayim, even if it's not his. So if the choice is this Magid Shir or nobody, give it to the Magid Shir. If you have someone else to give it to, okay, then give it to someone else. That is the Chashuke Chemed relating to that Shuvah of the Nitziv. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara after this line, the Torah was only going to be given to Moshe, but Moshe then decided to give it to share it. Matzav Rav Chizda, is that really true? Va'osi tziva Hashem bo'esahi l'lamed eschem. Moshe says, Hashem commanded me to teach you. Sounds like that was not the original plan to keep it. Va'osi tziva v'ani lachem. Now you can read the pasuk that way. To me he commanded, and I decided to share it. Or, what about this pasuk? Re'e limati eschem chukim mishpatim. Kasher tzivani Hashem alokai limati eschem. I taught you. So again, osit siva v'ani lachem. Next try. V'yata kisvu lachem asashira azos. Write this shira, you gotta read the rest of the pasuk. V'lamda es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyem, and teach b'nei Yisrael. Right, and the assumption is, the havamina is that's referring to the Torah. Hashira l'chuda. No, that's only referring to hazinu. So referring to the shira. That will be. L'man t'yeli hashira hazos l'aid b'nei Yisrael. No, it says the whole shira is going to be for an aid for B'nai Yisrael. Right, that's referring to Hazinu. There's no bris, there's no covenant between Hashem and B'nai Yisrael and Hazinu. Right, it has to be referring to a larger part of the Torah. So we're back to the Kasha. So the Gemara answers, you're right. At least it was a Havamina. But the Maskan of the Gemara says, Ella Pilpula Ba'alma. What does that mean? Of course the Torah was all going to be given to Am Yisrael. But the Pilpula of the Torah was only going to be given to Moshe. What does that mean? The Mefarish says, Lahavin davar mitoch davar. Right, the depths of the Torah, the secrets of the Torah, might have only been given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, there are some poskim that talk about the Isra of teaching Torah to non-Jews. One of the limitations is, there are many Aterim. Only this part of Torah, only that part of Torah. So one of the Marsha says this in elsewhere, where this is discussed. They talk about it on the Gemara about Hillel teaching Torah to the non-Jews, right, in Shabbos Lamed Aleph. So the how could that be? So they say, oh, maybe the secrets of the Torah is the only thing that's usher. The surface understanding, that's okay. Like the Gemara here has said that originally the plan was the surface understanding was going to be given to all of Klal Yisrael and the depths to Moshe, and Moshe expanded. So maybe that's another answer in terms of teaching Torah to non-Jews. But there's so much behind behind the Torah. The Pilpula is the gishmak and the enjoyment that we get from the Torah, not just what it says on the surface, but the understanding of it. There's a beautiful Ben Yehoyada, we mentioned this in other contexts, on the Gemara in Shabbos Peches that talks about Nasa v'Nishma. Tosfos there asked the Kasha from the Medrash. Tosfos asked it by himself, but it's the Medrash's Kasha. How is it that B'nai Yisrael said Nasa v'Nishma while we also have the same Chazal on that same Amud in Shabbos, Vayitziyasu b'Tachtos Ahar? What does that mean? Kaf aleihem harkagigas. Hashem held the mountain over us like a barrel, and he said, if you accept the Torah, fine, if not, not. Meaning he forced it upon us. So Tosfos asks, what did he need to force it if we said Nasa v'Nishma? Right? Famous Kasha. And there are various answers. Tosfos there gives one answer, but the Medrash Tanchuma, gives another answer. Torah shebichsav, Torah shebalpeh. Nasa v'Nishma, we were ready to accept the Torah shebichsav. That's small, that's finite. Torah Shebal Peh, forget it. It's huge that we weren't ready for. So, Nasa v'Nishma. Hashem had to force us to accept Torah Shebichsav then. Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Because it's a package deal. You can't have one without the other. Like one of those stories about the Ger. The Ger goes to Hillel. I'll become a Ger Manas, only Torah Shebichsav, not Torah Shebal Peh. And Hillel teaches him over the next couple of days that it's impossible. Right? You can't have Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebal Peh. So, that's one shot of the Medrash. The Ben Yoyada on that Gemara in Shabbos beautifully says, well, that helps explain also the language of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? We all know the Gemara. We don't really think about it. Rashi quotes it. Hashem held the mountain over them like a barrel and made them the offer they can't refuse. Why does the Gemara say he held the mountain over them like a barrel? What do you mean a barrel? Why didn't he hold the mountain over them like a mountain? What do you have to say? A mountain, it's like a barrel. What's added by the mushel of a barrel? Says the Ben Yoyada, when you have a barrel full of wine, you look at the barrel from the outside and you think it's a barrel. But the ichor of the barrel, there are billions of drops of wine hidden inside the barrel. You just don't see it. That's what Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael. Right? You accept the Torah Shebichsav. But he held the mountain over them like a barrel, as if to say, no, that's the outside. But you have to know what's inside, what's underneath is what's really valuable, what's really special. Like the Gemara in Gittin says, L'kar zakadosh baruch hu brisim Yisrael, el al tar shebal peh. The tar shebal peh is what makes it special and unique, and that's why Hashem held it over like a barrel. And that's the pilpula ba'alma that Moshe Rabbeinu shared with us by Maimon Har Sinai. Okay, there's more, but we will continue. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Weiter. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, I'm sorry, one other point. Kisru Lachem as Hashira Hazos. The Havamina was that it's only about Hazinu, but we realize that that's much more than Hazinu. That's the Pasuk. That's the source for Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Rambam quotes that Pasuk. That's the source for the Mitzvah Taryad. That's what the Chinuch has as the last Mitzvah, because it's the last one in the Torah. The Rambam says in Perek Shevi'i of Hilchos Sefer Torah, Mitzvah Aseh Yalkol Ish V'Ish Yisrael Lichtov Sefer Torah La'atzmo. It's a Mitzvah for every Jew, at least every man. Ish V'Ish. Does that include women? That's also a discussion in the Rishonim. Mitzvah Aseh Yalkol Ish V'Ish Sheneemar V'Ato Kisvu Lachem Es Hashir Azos Kozar Pasek Klomar Kisvu Es HaTorah Sheyesh Ba Shirazu. The Rambam says it is talking about Hazinu. But the Pasuk should be understood on a deeper level. Write this scroll that has the Shira in it. That's how he darshans. Lefisha in Kosin, it's a Torah, Parshios, Parshios. You can't just write the Torah sections. V'yavol v'she nichol ola adam avosav sefer Torah. And even if your father left you a sefer Torah, mitzvah lichto mishalo. You have to write your own. And if you write your own, it's as if you had Har Sinai again. And if you don't know how to write it, have acherim hire a sofer. But the Rambam understands that from our quotes, our pasuk, right? We mentioned already a couple of sugyas within that the mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah bizman hazeh? That's the shakasari and the mechas chinuch. What about svarim? That's the rush. Says maybe it has svarim today. Women, that is a huge topic. The shakasari has a tshuva where he suggests that maybe women are not obligated in the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. Amazing suggestion, right? This is not found earlier. The shakasari says, well, Mistama, the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, is connected, this is Siman Lamed Hei, is connected to the mitzvah of learning Torah. And if the women are pturos from learning Torah, Mistama, they are pturos from writing a Torah as well. So he starts off, Yesh la'ayin, im nashim chayavin, mitzvah asesh, al-tzivaseh, for Torah ka'anashim, olo. To Yesh lomar, ti'avag av denashim p'turas, b'talmud Torah, b'kol makom, mitzvah k'sivaseh, for Torah, la'am b'talmud Torah talya, b'trei mili ninu. That's what I would have said. But then he tries to prove it from other sources, that it is connected. So that is not a davar pashut. He quotes a Rambam at the end of his Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam lists off, and all of these mitzvos, Yudches, Tezayin, and he lists off all the mitzvos women are pturas from. So there the Rambam lists off Ksiva Sefer Torah. Even though he doesn't say that in the Mishnah Torah. In Sefer HaMitzvos, he has this one line that the Shagas Aryeh picks up on, that women are pturas. But we don't know if the Rambam actually paskin that way. Okay, but that's based on the pasuk. Let's continue. We'll see if this time we'll get back to other elements of that mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, now right in the middle. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashveh Shechinaso Ela Al Gibar Va'ashir V'Chacham Va'anav. Hashem is only Mashreh His Shechina. What does Mashreh mean? The Ramban writes in Baba Basra on Daf Yud Beis. He might give Nevuah for a one time or for a short amount of time to people who don't deserve it. Right, Lavan had nevuah, so to speak. He had some connection. Bilam had, and other people had throughout. But Mashreh Shechinaso means Hashra'as Hashchina, means for a while, means for a permanent amount of time. So Hashem is only Mashreh Hashchina on someone who has these four midos: Gibar, Ashir, Chacham, and Anav. And the pashas of the Gemara is that these are literal. Pashas of that they're literal. Let's see. V'kulan mi Moshe, and you learn them all from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu had all of these midos. Where do we see he had all these midos? Gibar dichsiv vayifros es ha'ol al hamishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu spread the curtains, the urios, all over the mishkan. It sounds like he did it himself. Va'amar mar Moshe Rabbeinu pirso himself v'ksiv eser amos arach hakaresh v'gomer. The walls, the krushim, were 10 amos high. That's somewhere between, 15 and 20 feet. It's pretty high. And Moshe Rabbeinu spread it himself. So Mistama, if he was very tall, the Gemara assumes he must have been very strong. And therefore he did it himself. That shows that he was a gibor. Says the Gemara, Ema de Arech v'katin. Maybe he was tall, but he was weak. Who says that he was a gibor? Maybe he was just very tall. And he spread the urios. So the Gemara says, Elamin adinkra. No, it must be from this pasuk. Dechsiv. Va'espos b'shnei haluchos. I held the two luchos, va'ashlichem me'al shtei yadai. I threw them from my two hands, va'ashabrem, and I broke them. I broke them. So Moshe Rabbeinu held the luchos and he broke them. Vitanya, and the Brisa says, haluchos arkan shisha, v'rachban shisha, va'avyan shlosha. So the luchos weren't small. And Moshe Rabbeinu had the strength to throw them. There is a yalka that says he dropped them. But the pashas of the psukim, is like it says here, he broke them. So you see that he must have been very strong. Gibor. Good. The Rashi quotes Chazal all the way at the end of the Torah that Shviras Haluchos was one of the high points of Moshe's career. One of the high points. Yashakocha Chasheshibarta. Right? So Rashi quotes in the last pasuk of the Torah. And I think it was Rav Gifter who asked, why is it that was the ultimate Moshe Rabbeinu event? Right, you would think that giving the luchos afterwards, that was his godless, breaking the luchos. Yisrael, this was the greatest. Those psukim, every phrase in that pasuk alludes to something else great Moshe Rabbeinu did. Kriyas Yardain and the Mon and Shviras HaLuchos, that was the high point? So he quoted the Gemara in a few places about Nechemiah HaMsuni. Now Nechemiah HaMsuni, we know darshan every S in the Torah, until Rabbi Akiva came along. I'm sorry, until he came to us, Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he realized that he couldn't darshan anything to add on to Hashem. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, so he threw it all away. He stopped darshaning, he said, it must be, there's nothing to darshan from S's in the Torah. So ask his Talmidim, Rebbe, Kol Ma Shedarashta Matehei Aleihen. Everything that you darshaned, so what, you're going to throw out your doctoral thesis? Just because there's one S you couldn't figure out? So what does he say? Kishem shekibalti schara ladrisha, kachan kabal schara laprisha. Just like I was bakabal schara on darshaning, so too on stopping the darshan. Ad shabar Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came along and darshan esler asherem lekechatira l'rabos talmidei chachamim. And the question is asked: if he was able to darshan every s in the Torah, so why couldn't he figure this one out? What did Rabbi Akiva have that he didn't have? Number of answers given, but Rav Gifter, I think, said He had one thing that Nehemiah Hamsuni didn't have, and that was he saw Nehemiah Hamsuni. He saw someone who was ready to throw away his life's work for MS because he said, I must be wrong. That intellectual honesty in Torah, oh, l'rabos talmidei chachamim. Hashem's mid is MS. So if somebody was so meshubit to the MS, that's what Rabbi Kiva had. Back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he sees the Bnei Yisrael dancing around the Egel. What should he have done? Let me put this away. Let me figure out a way to get them to do tshuva, and then I'll give them the luchos. No, Moshe saw that the MS was that these luchos were not ro'i for Klal Yisrael. These luchos, the plan has to change, right? The plan B has to come into effect. And I don't know what plan B is, says Moshe, but I'm going to break the luchos because that's what MS demands. Like Rabbi Akiva after him, like Nehemiah Hamsuni after him. And that's why the gavus of Moshe's career was not just getting the second luchos, but breaking the first luchos. Like it says here, that reflects his strength. So that's Mida number one, Ashir. Let's continue. I'm sorry, that was Gvura, Gibor. Vaiter, Ashir, fifth to last skinny line, Psalacha, Psultan Shalacha Yehe, as we had before. Ashir from the Psalas. Chacham, what about Chacham? Rav Shmuel Damri Shravayu, Chabishim Shari Bina Nivru Baolam. There are 50 levels of understanding of Bina, of Hevan the Davar Mitov Davar, Vekulam Nitun Lamosha Chasar Me'achas. Moshe Rabbeinu had 49 of them. He couldn't understand the 50th, right? That was in Kisisa. He asked for that 50th, but Hashem says, no, I'm sorry, you can't see it because you're a human being. Shenemar, batachasreo ma'at me'alokim, just a little bit under the malachim. Anav, dechsiv, ha'ish Moshe, anav ma'od. Right? All of these midos. So again, the pashas of the Gemara is that these midos are literal. Literally Ashiras, literally Gvura, v'cholu. The Rambam has in Ilchos Yisodiyah Torah where he talks about Nevua that they are the Pirkei Avos way of understanding the Midos. Ezehu Ashir, Ezehu Gibor. That's not how the Pashas of this Gemara, the impression that you get. But the Rambam says in Ilchos Yisodiyah Torah in Perek Zayin, he talks about all the Midos that one needs in order to be Ro'i to get Nevua, and he quotes, maybe Chachma could be literal. But all the other ones, he quotes, Shalem b'midos. Gibor v'ena nevua chala ela al chacham gadol v'chachma. Gibor b'midosav. V'lo ye yitzro mitgaber ola b'davar ba'olam elahu mitgaber b'daito al yitzro tamid. He is always in control. Baal dea rechava nechona an ma'od. Somebody who has all those midos, so then when he goes and meditates and connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he will be ro'i to get nevuah, even though it's still a matana from Hashem, but he'll be ro'i to get nevuah. So the Rambam has that understanding. It's not against the Gemara. It's a different understanding of the Gemara. Could be that you need both. Vayter, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim, Ashirim Hayu, all the Neviim were Ashirim. Minalan, how do you know that from? Mimoshe Umishmuel, Me'amos Umeyona. From these four Neviim. Moshe Dechsiv, by Moshe, what is the pasuk? Say lo chamor echad me'am nasasi. When Moshe is exclaiming that he never took anything from Klal Yisrael, he says, I never took one donkey of theirs. I never took it from my own, even though I could have used it. So says the Gemara, I below agra, if he meant to say, I never took one somebody's donkey without paying for it, la fuki man, the shaka below agra. What's he boasting about? What, who is he comparing himself to? Of course he never took it without paying. That would not be righteous. So ella dafilu ba'agra. Moshe Rabbeinu's statement is that even paying for it he never took. Why? Mistama, because he had his own. So, right, that he was an ashir. Says the Gemara, no, v'dilma mishum da'anihu. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe he didn't have enough money to pay for it. So he didn't want to take it. So Ella Mimsalacha Psaltan Yeheshalcha. Okay, we go back to what we said before. That's Moshe. Shmuel Dirsev. Shmuel had a parallel perek where before Shmuel died at a young age, as we know, 52, at a young age, Shmuel has a monologue where he talks to Am Yisrael, where he's very upset that they had asked for a king. Shaul had just been appointed and anointed. But he gives his last instructions. So there he has parallels to Moshe. Tichsev, hineini, anu, bi, neged Hashem, neged Mashicho, put me up against Hashem, and et shar milo kachti, v'chamar milo kachti, same type of lashon. That Shmuel Hanavi says, did I ever take somebody's chamar? You know, I slept around, I never borrowed anybody's chamar. So again we say, I b'chinam, lafuki, man, deshoka b'chinam. What, did he mean for free? He wouldn't do that. Who's he comparing himself to? Ela da'afilu b'schar. even for money, Shmuel was saying. V'dilma da'anihu, maybe he was just poor and that's why. So el me'acha, no, it must be from a different pasuk. Utshuvaso haramasa. The pasuk says that the godless of Shmuel Hanavi was that he never stayed home. He went around all of Eretz Yisrael, getting people to do tshuva and judging them and bringing them closer to Hashem. And that's what his sons didn't do. His sons just stayed put and they said, oh, everybody can come to us. But Shmuel went around. Utshuvaso haramasa. And he always came home to Ramah. Right, Shmuel is buried in modern day Ramot. Nevi Shmuel, right, is up by Ramot, right, Ramah. Ramata, Kisham Beso, because that's where he was. V'amar Rava and Rava Darshan from that pasuk, Kol Makom Shehalach, Beso Imo. Wherever he went, his bias was with him. So you see, he was able to be so well off that he always had what he needed with him. Sham Beso, right, kind of the opposite of the Chafetz Chaim story, when he was even home and he didn't have anything. Right, and he says, where's your furniture? He says, where's your furniture? I'm just passing through. I'm also just passing through. So it's like the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel, even when he was actually traveling, he had everything he needed. The Chafetz Chaim, even when he was home, you know, he didn't have anything. Right, Kisha, he was just passing through. Weiter. Amar Rava, Gadol Mashenemar b'Shmuel, Yoser Mishenemar b'Moshe. Greater what it says even about Shmuel than what it says about Moshe Rabbeinu. Dila b'Moshe Rabbeinu k'siv lo chamar echad mehem nasasi da'afilu b'schar, even just for money. V'ilu gabi Shmuel, afilu b'ratzon lo scharo. Even if the guy would be saying, please take it, you'll pay me, and pushing him to take it, Shmuel would not take it. D'chsiv, ayomru lo ashaktanu, v'lo ratzosanu, v'gomer. As B'nai Yisrael answer Shmuel afterward, they say, you're right, you never did this. Okay, almost d'chsiv. Amos, one of the Shreyasar, Vayan Amos Vayomer El Amatzia. Amos says to Amatzia, when Amatzia was accusing Amos of not being a true Navi, Lo Navi and making maybe making money off of it, Lo Navi Anochi, Lo Ben Navi Anochi, Ki Boker Anochi. I am a Boker, means a checker of animals, a checker of cattle. Boker, like Levaker, to check, Bikur. Ubolesh Kamim, and I also take care of my sycamore trees. So you see, he had a lot of cattle, he had a lot of sycamore trees. Kidimatagim Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef, who was always an expert in Targum, he says, Are Mari Gesiana, I'm the master of cattle, Vishikman Li Bishafelta Vagomer, and I have a lot of sycamores in the Shvela. And that's why you see from there that Amos was also rich. Right, there's a Deya in Tosfos that Tosfos quotes in a few places, beginning of Baba Kama, which Tosfos gets very upset about. That maybe Rav Yosef was an expert in Targum because Rav Yosef was blind and Varshe Bechsav, Iyata Rashay La'omer and Alpeh, and it's as if it's Alpeh if he's a Suma, and that's why he had to be a Baki in Targum. He couldn't focus on the psukim themselves. And Tosfos doesn't like that. Generally, Tosfos in a few places, how can you say that? Rav Yosef, no, that only applies to somebody who can read it. Right, it's not that somebody was mufka. That's not called Baal Peh. So, but that's a discussion why. But either way, he was a Baki in Targum. Right, why he was a Baki in Targum is a question that we shown him. But that's why Rav Yosef, again here, is quoted as the Baki. Yonah Dechsev. The last one, Yonah, as it says, Vayitin Schara Vayered Ba, when Yonah was trying to run away, he goes down to the boat, and he pays the Schar, and he goes down. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shenatan Schar Shel Sfina Kula. He didn't just pay his own way on the boat. He paid for the entire boat. The entire boat. He wanted the boat to leave right away. The Marsha says he wanted it to leave quickly. So the captain said, well, what do you mean? We're waiting for 50 other passengers. Yonah says, I'll pay for all of them too. Just start going. Right, he paid for the whole boat ride. Amar Rabbi Ruminus, which interestingly then gives a whole new light to the whole story. When the boatsmen didn't want, and the people on the boat didn't want to throw Yonah off, you know, they didn't want to throw him off because he paid for everything. Right? They were nervous. And afterwards they threw him off and they were davening and they were crying. Puts it all in a new light if Yonah was the one that paid for the entire boat. Amar Rabbi Ruminus. It was 4,000 golden coins. Okay, a lot of money. Last line, at the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu kept learning, and he didn't remember everything. Says the Marsha here, beautiful lashon of the Marsha. Marsha says, could you think that even a Moshe Rabbeinu, even as great as he was, could learn the entire infinite Torah in 40 days and 40 nights? Is that possible on the first try? On the first try, says the Marsha. He says, he's not knocking Moshe. He is being machshiv the Torah. Lefishi yafshar ladas enushi lekabel kol mitzvas haTorah toks man muad kaze arbaim yom. Kedepirish Rashi bechumish. That's why it says until he was able to push himself. Elisha matanas elokim hayalo shetukuyam biyado v'lo tishtakach. Humanly, logically, he wouldn't have been able to hold it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a matana. Gave him a matana, b'ayin yafeh, and allowed him to remember it. But really, humanly, possible that was not the normal way. Okay, Mishnah. Again, Amud Aleph here is jam-packed. I know that we spent a lot more time on Amud Aleph today, but it's not my fault. Not my fault. Says the Mishnah. Vizan, back to the Nidarim. We have been talking about in the past couple of Mishnayos when somebody was Mudr Hana, Reuben was Mudr Hana from Shimon. And we said all the things that Reuben is still allowed to do for Shimon. Vizan ez ishtov ez bana, v'avol bishachay v'mezonosan. Reuben could support Shimon's wife and children, even though Shimon has a chiyuv. But still, that's good. He's allowed to do that. He's allowed to give them mezonos. Tosis here is today is that only according to Chanan, who we had in Ksubis, that if you support a wife, then the husband does not have to pay you back. Is that only according to Chanan or even according to the Rabbanan? 2 days in Tosfos. V'lo yozenes behemto, bein temeya bein tahora. But you're not allowed to fatten up his animals. Why? Because his animals are worth more if they're fattened up. So whether they're kosher or non-kosher, you're not allowed to fatten them up. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, zones atemeya bein zones atahora. You can make his non-kosher animals fat. Give them food, but not his kosher animals. Amr lo ma bein tamei l'tahora. The Rabbanan said, what's the difference? Amr lo, he says, shatahora nafsho l'shamayim v'gufa shalo. The kosher animals, he gets the guf after he shecks them. He's able to eat them. So the nefesh, interesting lashon, do animals have nefashos? Right? The nefesh, it might just not be literal, but the nefesh goes to l'shamayim, but the guf is shalo, so he gets it. So that's why if you feed his kosher animals, he's going to get direct hanah from that. He's going to have a fattened animal when he eats it. V'tameya, but the non-kosher animals, nafshal v'guf l'shamayim. So he's never going to be able to eat it. So that's why you're allowed to fatten it up. So amrulo, they said to him, what do you mean? Alfatameya, nafshal l'shamayim v'guf l'shalo. Even non-kosher animals, he could get hanah from. Fine, he can't eat it. But he can still get direct hanah from his non-kosher animals being fattened up. So therefore, the chachamim say back, there shouldn't be a difference between kosher and non-kosher. You're not allowed to feed any of his animals. Rabbi Eliezer was machalik. Kosher, no. Non-kosher, yes. There's a machlokas we've shown him here. The Ryan quotes the Rashba and argues on him whether even the heter of Rabbi Lazar only applies to the food more than what they need to be sustained, or even just the basic food. Could you give them what they need to live? Is Rabbi Lazar even allowing that? Or no? He doesn't allow that, but he allows above and beyond what is needed. The Ran holds above and beyond. The Rashba says even the Iker, what's needed to live. Amar Rav Yisla Bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna, HaMudrana Mechaveiro, Mutr Lahasilo Bito. If somebody's Mudrana from their friend, their daughter can still marry them. Who's the he? Who's the he? Not clear. Havi Bar Rabbi Zeira, B'maya Skinan. Who is allowed to marry who? Who is Mudrana from who? Ilema, Bishin Nikse Aviakala, Asur Nala Chasan. Is it that the father-in-law, his property is also to the Chasan? Then why is he allowed to give his daughter? We assume the Havamin is that we're talking about here about a Ketana. The father is giving the Ketana, Kiddush Ketana. So why should that be Mutter? The Chassan's also to get benefit from the father-in-law. So it must be the opposite. Ella b'nichse Chassan asur na'al v'yakala. It must be the Chassan's also to the father-in-law. Right? And yet, what do we say, Lamaisa? The Chassan is allowed to take upon himself the parnasa of the daughter now. So the Gemara says, "Gedolim izu amru." So then, not that's wrong, but what's the chiddush? We learned even greater chiddush in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, "Zanes eshtov espana v'avu bishuchay b'mizonosan." Right, you're allowed to feed somebody and their wife and kids, even if you're mudar anah from them, even if they're still in their house. Fiat amrit mutar lasi lo bito. And now, what do you tell? What is Rav Huna saying? Oh, if she comes into your house, you're allowed to feed her, even if they're still in the mudar's house, you're still allowed to feed them. So either it's wrong or it's obvious. So Ella Olam Bishanichse Avikala Sirmala Chasan. No, go back to the first way. The Aviakala, those property are also on the Chasan. And we were wrong. Ubebito Bogeres, we're talking about a Bogeres, not a Ktana. Umidaita, meaning she's getting married on her own. That's why it's Munter, because this is not considered the father giving over his daughter. Because halakhically, she is in her own rishus. She is a bogaris. In a chinami, if it was a ketana, and the father is giving over the ketana, and the father's nechasim were asurim on the chasim, that would be asur. But in this case, it's a bogaris, and that's why it's independent. Tani nami hachi, we also have another brisa. Hamudra name chaveiro, asilo hasilo bito, avomasio bito, the bogaris umidaita. Right, exactly as we understood it. That's part one of the Gemara. Part two. Amar Yaakov, Hamadir b'no l'talmud Torah. If somebody is madir their son l'talmud Torah, what exactly does that mean? The Ran says and the Rush says it means I want to make sure that my son does not have any distractions in learning. I don't want him to have to do anything for me. So I say, you know what? I'm madir hano. He's not allowed to give me any benefit. So that way, he won't have to be busy with kibud avim. He'll just be able to learn. Right, is that a good idea for a parent to do? It does not say it's a good idea. It just says that this is what took place. But a madr benola talmud Torah, if somebody is madr hana, still the son could do basic actions for the parent. Mutter lamat, right, meaning he's not saying that the child is allowed to be mevaze, the father, the parent. That might not be in their control, because that's an avera. This is just, he doesn't have to busy himself. He's still allowed to bring his parents a cup of water, and to light a candle. That's still allowed. Because that's not real called basic hana. Anybody can really do that. That's something very small. See on the fourth wide line of the run. Mistama mimili zutre kihani deleka bo bitoli lo adre. That's the umdana. That such little things that really don't take you away from your learning. Mistama, the parent, was not madir, that type of hana. Rebbe Yitzchak Omer, Litzlostol Dakatan, even more. Even to cook a little bit for them, to roast them a little fish, that's also something small. Period. Omer Rebbe Yirmiyah, Omer Rebbe Yochanan, Hamudur Ana Mechaveiro, Mudur Lashkoso Koshal Shalom. Again, this is an important Yisodos, that even when one is Mudur Hana, if the Umdana is, if we could assume that little things were not included, then they're not included. So he's allowed to give him a koshal shalom. What is a koshal shalom? My nihu, hacha targimu koshal besa avel. One of the kosos, one of the Gemara tells us in Ksubis, the first parak, that there were certain cups of wine that were given to an avel to help him feel better. So, even if I'm madir hana from you, I'm not allowed to give you any benefit, I can give you these cups of wine. Machlokas, 2 days in Iran, what, could it be my wine even? I'm allowed to give you a cup of wine, but is that only your wine, or could it even be my wine? That's 2 days in the run. But the, what, so that's one, opinion in the Gemara about a koshal besa avel. B'ma'arava Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they said koshal besa merchatz. They used to believe medically that after one went through a bathhouse, one had to drink a cup of hot water, or else it was dangerous, a basic need. Again, a hanamu etta, says the Mefarish, so that was all allowed. These two kosos were allowed, even if someone is mudur hana from their friend. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Maybe we'll continue with the last three lines, and tomorrow's daf coming up on the next couple of dafim, and maybe we'll talk about another case in the Chashuk Echemet about Madir Beno Mitalmud Torah. Okay, we'll stop here.